For me, the whole death and resurrection and the ascension, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, and we realize what we're going to look at this morning, it is like the Father giving us a welcoming home embrace and saying, welcome home, children. And it's a celebration, just like the prodigal son, you know, and the father. And it's such a celebration to know the reality of being raised with Christ as we have died with him and have risen with him. So in Colossians chapter 1, I want to read a few scriptures there, and then we're going to Colossians 2. We're going to look at a few scriptures this morning. This whole, from Thursday onward, this whole weekend, and in the past two or a few weeks now, we've been focusing a little bit on the fatherhood of God and understanding that all families on the earth derives its name from, derives its existence from God's fatherhood. And so the fatherhood of God is such an incredible truth for us to get a revelation of by the Holy Spirit, to bring about a starting point of what fatherhood is all about. And as we looked at right from on Thursday, I shared there that when God created Adam and Eve, we saw there how they experienced the joy of living in the fatherhood of God. Satan comes and messes them up over there. And what was the first reality of Adam and Eve? They hid from God. And ever since the fall, the man is hiding from the genuine reality of the fatherhood of God. And Christ came to restore that and to God through his son to bring us back into the family, to bring us back into the fatherhood of God and to live in that reality. And only the Holy Spirit can open up these truths, because our mind cannot comprehend. We've got a definition of God the Father, but it's our definition of God the Father is very limited. It's very small. And the Holy Spirit wants to take us into the depth of the fatherhood of God. And as we shared on Thursday evening at the service there, that the very reason why Jesus came was to make the Father known. And we looked at those scriptures, and I want to just quickly, for those that weren't there, just to recap over there. In John chapter 14, Jesus, or you can go to John chapter 1 and verse 14, right through to verse 16, that no one has seen the Father except the Son, Jesus Christ, who has come to make him known. And here in John 14, we see the same over here, where Jesus is speaking about his departure, and he's going to go to the cross, he's going to be resurrected, but don't worry, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, so don't be troubled. And he starts to speak truth to them of what's going to take place. And then he says over there, when Thomas asks him the question, but we don't know the way you're going, how do we know? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And so the way that you and I, the way mankind can get to know God the Father is only through Jesus Christ. There's no other way for humanity to know the reality of what it is to be loved by God the Father. See, God so loved the world, so humanity lives in the reality of God so loved the world, but only when we receive Jesus do we live in the experience, the reality of the Father's love. Okay, and so that's why Jesus came. And so Jesus says over here, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Because Jesus came to reveal the Father. And if you and I are wanting to grow in the revelation of our Heavenly Father, we have to grow in the revelation of who Christ is, because Jesus is the image of God. And the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and makes it known to you and I. And so as we behold and we look at Jesus, we start to get a greater insight to who our Heavenly Father is. And the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is such an incredible revelation, because as we look at Christ, we can see in Christ, we can see the Father, our Heavenly Father in Christ, embracing and doing the work of reconciling us back to Himself. We'll look at some scriptures there just to give you that understanding there as well. And so Jesus again, in John 14, he continues and he speaks about the Holy Spirit and about him and the Father will come. And he says over there, "He is the one who loves me. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him." And all the time we notice over here how as we continue to walk in the revelation of Jesus, we will now walk in the reality of being not only loved by Jesus, but loved by the Father, but also the reality of a greater revelation of Jesus. Jesus will show himself to us so that in him we will get to know the Father more and more. And so it's so, so important for you and I to know, to experience God the Father. We experience God the Father because of Jesus, and it's through Jesus Christ. And the more we behold Jesus, the more we begin to get a revelation of God the Father working in and through Jesus. And that's the way, give you the scriptures now. And in John 17, Jesus prays, and he says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent." And so Jesus is the one who gives us eternal life. And eternal life is that we may know the only true God the Father and the Son Jesus Christ. That's eternal life. And that's why all the time, if we don't know, Jesus says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Because I and the Father are one. The Father is in me doing the work. All the work that I'm doing is my Father in me. So look at my work so that you can see my works. You can see in me my Heavenly Father working. Okay, that's the reality of the oneness of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus saying, now this is what eternal life is. As they believed in me, as the disciples and the people believed in Jesus, they now were given eternal life, and that is God's quality of life. That is the reality of God the Father. Now they can start to participate and share in the divine nature of God. They can participate in the life of God. That's eternal life. And so they know the Father by the Spirit, Abba Father. And they know Jesus. Jesus is real. Jesus is not a story. He's real. He's personal. He's brilliantly involved in our lives. If we believe and we have received him by faith. And he goes on and he says over there, verse 6, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of this world." And that was the heart of the Father and the Son all the time. And the Holy Spirit was to make the Father known. The Father's heart is for you and I to know him. Jesus' heart is for you and I to know him. The Holy Spirit's heart is for you and I to know the Father. That's all the time. That's why the Spirit we call Abba Father. We have the Spirit of Sonship. Okay. So that we can know the Father and experience the Father's love. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me just give you that, or chapter 3 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, let's go to chapter 5. It's an easier one to understand there. Here, Paul is writing to the body of Christ, and I'm going to come back to our Colossians 3. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes and he's speaking about what it is to be a new creation. And he goes on and he says over there in verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. That is mind-blowing. So in the death of Jesus, we can see the reality that all of humanity has died. Christ has made provision in dealing with the old Adam, the Adamic humanity, that's the human race. Okay? But it's by faith you have to appropriate this. And he goes on and he says over there, and he died for all, that those who live, those who now have been born again, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Now, in the context of the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, Paul now begins to open up a little bit more. So, because of that, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. So he has the Father. All of this is taking place. The reality our old humanity, the old Adamic nature, who we were as a offspring of Adam, that died with Christ. This was our Heavenly Father's doing in his Son and through his Son Jesus. The fact now that because of the death of Jesus and the power of that Adamic nature is now broken, but also in the resurrection of Jesus, that was our Heavenly Father's doing, dealing with our sin, so that in his Son, our Heavenly Father is reconciling us back to himself. And he carries on and he says over here, all this is from God, our Heavenly Father, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. In other words, if we are not a new creation in Christ, we would never have been able to be reconciled back to the Father. Because nothing impure, nothing unholy can come into heaven. We had to become a new creation in Christ. Powerful. This is the love of God for humanity, to bring about a whole new creation in his Son, because only his Son Jesus lived a sinless life. So Jesus has done what no man could have done. All humanity was born with this fallen nature and was controlled by sin and had to be a slave to sin. Not Jesus. So what Jesus did for you and I was that what he did in his death and resurrection in his life now did it for us, so that when we by faith, the gospel of God, the good news of God is his Son Jesus, when the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to you and I, and we respond and we say, yes, thank you for what you've done. At that very moment, we are no longer that Adam man. We are now a new creation in Christ. And that may the Holy Spirit take us into an incredible, never-ending journey of the revelation of being a new creation in Christ Jesus. To know the depth of Christ being our righteousness. Knowing the depth of us being complete in Jesus. Knowing the depth of sonship in the reality of what it is to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Only the Holy Spirit. And so I encourage you, as I encourage myself, to meditate on what that means to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's going to blow your mind. It is so deep. It's life-changing as the Holy Spirit takes us into the truth of what it is to be a new creation in Christ. And so he carries on and he says, if anyone is in Christ, that's been born again now by the Holy Spirit. You've been united with Christ Jesus. There's that union with Christ. He is a new creation. Now notice, the old has gone. The old is not hanging on. The old has gone. Adam has gone. We are now in Christ as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Okay? And he says that the old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God himself was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Notice this, and maybe you want to scratch this out of your Bible. Not counting men's sins against them. Profound. A new creation in Christ. Here now, all of a sudden, being a new creation in Christ, God has reconciled, not counting our sins against us. All of a sudden, that changes everything for you and I in understanding fatherhood. All of a sudden, the reality of our Heavenly Father opens up, that our Father is not counting our sin against us. That our Father has opened up and we have freedom and access to our Father. Yes, he disciplines us because he wants us to walk in the truth of who we are as a new creation and to live in the quality of life, eternal life. So anything that's interfering in our lives, that's distorting and messing us up who we really are in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit will minister to us, and that's the Father's discipline for us to come to the realization, no, but God wants the best for me. What I'm doing is destroying my life. It's not good. That's not who I am. That's not who I am in Christ Jesus. And so repentance really is then, is, Father, thank you for showing me that what I'm doing is not who I am in your Son Jesus. And I thank you that you love me so much that you're showing me that what I'm doing is harmful, is destructive, it's not life and abundance. And we say yes to the Holy Spirit, and then we respond to the Holy Spirit. Because those who love our Lord Jesus listen to the Holy Spirit, and we respond and we obey him. And as we obey him, we live loved by the Father. You see, we experience the Father's love more and more and more and more. And then he carries on, not counting men's sin against him, as he has committed us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And he carries on over there. Okay, so now we go to Colossians chapter 3. And we go to Colossians 1 first, and we go there, verse 15. This is our Lord Jesus. Now, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so once again, we see over here that our Lord Jesus, if we want to know the Father, we have to know Jesus, because he is the only one that knows the Father, and he is the image of the Father. And then he carries on, and that's why you'll find all religions will deny Jesus. They want nothing to do with Jesus, because Jesus is the revelation of the Father. And the last thing Satan wants is for people to see the Father in his Son Jesus. And that's why in Colossians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let me just read that over there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it's so beautiful, because Paul writes over there and he says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And that's the whole strategy of the enemy, is to prevent us to see the glory of God, to see God in Christ Jesus. This is the tremendous mystery of the gospel that we're speaking about over here. And so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the good news of God, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And then he carries on, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of God in the face of Christ. Isn't that what we're speaking about? So to see the knowledge, to know who God is, we have to see the face of Jesus. As we behold the face of Jesus, we get more revelation of God the Father. That's it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to the Father. The Holy Spirit all the time reveals through Jesus who the Father is. Okay. And so that's why you find most of the time the blasphemy all the time to blaspheme the name of Jesus. You'll find all the time the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ simply so that man cannot see the revelation of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But the power of the gospel, you see, the Holy Spirit, the love of God for mankind, no matter how man, how Satan tries to blind the mind of the unbeliever, God says, no. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus. But you and I need to share. You and I need to share the good news. You and I have got the message of reconciliation as we tell others about the glorious gospel of God and His Son Jesus Christ. But it's again over here. It's as we He let the light shine in our hearts, gives us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Okay, so in Colossians we see there that our Lord Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And then he carries on there, and let me just read over there in verse 19. In Colossians 1 verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That's why Jesus is the image. God's fullness dwells in Jesus' bodily form, the fullness of God. And he carries on and he says over there, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In Romans chapter 6, speaks about there that when you and I believe in Christ Jesus, we identify, we participated in the death of Jesus. And that's why the old is gone. So all our sin, who we were, our past, everything about us living as a sinful person has been buried with Jesus Christ. It died with him. Okay? And that is why it's funny how we try and, in our own personal lives, although that who we are has been buried with Jesus Christ, all of the time we're going to that tomb, we're going to the grave, and we're saying, come alive again, come alive again. Somehow I'm missing you. I'm missing all your sin. I'm missing all your rubbish. I'm missing all that over there. Come alive again. And all the time we're trying to raise dead Adam. And that it's stupid, but that's the reality. So a lot of counseling that we go to all the time is to try and raise up dead Adam. And that, and so all the counseling that we get is to raise that dead Adam up and to speak to that dead Adam. Don't waste time, that's dead. You see, as a child of God, that's dead. Now, in his resurrection, Paul writes there that in his resurrection, we too have been raised from the dead into this new life. That's the resurrection. So now, we too, when Christ was raised from the dead, we now, because of our faith in him, we have already been raised. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Yes, there's a time we are in our physical body is going to die, and also when there will be the resurrection. But we're speaking now about our spirit man, our soul man, that we're speaking about. These fleshly bodies will perish, okay? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We have to have the new glorified body as Christ's glorified body to be able to be, because sin dwells in this body and nothing unholy can be there in the presence of God. So we've got to have a new sinless body. And so Paul writes over there, since this is the reality, now that we have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In the Passion Translation, it brings it out quite nicely over there. Let me just get that over there. In the Passion, it speaks about the incredible way of filling your mind with heavenly realities. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above, for that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God, in Christ. As Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. Therefore live as one who died to every form of sexual sin, impurity, live as one who has died to the desires of forbidden things. And he carries on over there, because we have been raised with him. But this is the reality now, as the Holy Spirit is showing us the reality of God the Father. Let our minds be filled with the realities that we have been raised with Christ. Let our minds now start to be filled with the realities that my old, who I was, has been buried with Christ and I've been raised. Fill your mind with the realities that you are loved by the Father. Start to fill our minds with these realities. In other words, what is more real to you and I? God or what we see with our eyes? Because that will tell us how we are filling our minds. That will tell us whether we are appropriating this truth or not. What's more real in our lives today? And God is calling us, if you want to grow deeper into the revelation of who he is, he's calling us today, now fill your minds to the realities of the heavenly realm. Fill your mind with that. Fix your mind on that. Let your hearts and your minds be fixed on the real things in heaven. And as you do that, we find just how real God the Father is. We find just how real our Lord Jesus Christ is. We find just how real God the Holy Spirit is. And that's why, you know, a baby Christian or a worldly Christian, God's not very real to them. The Father's not very real to them because the realities of what they see. Faith presses into the unseen. Faith presses into, as the Spirit of God speaks, faith presses in and receives what God is saying in his word to you and I, and now steps into that. That's the heavenly realities for you and I as children of God. And that's the reality when Paul speaks about, since we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. So that's how we start to live in the reality. While on earth, we live in the reality of being seated with Christ in the heavenly realms because we are thinking differently. But more than that, what is the reality of being a new creation in Christ Jesus? Let me read this in the NIV. Since then you have been raised with Christ. That's the reality. That's a true heavenly reality for you and I. Set your hearts, in other words, get your minds renewed to that on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now look at this. The new creation in Christ Jesus. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, Holy Spirit must open this up. Otherwise, you're going to just, okay, this is big. this, what I'm sharing with you now, when the Holy Spirit, and I'm asking you, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, please take me into this. I want to meet Jesus in this truth of my life is hid in you, Lord. What does it mean having our lives totally hidden in Christ? Hey. What does it mean when you and I have access to our Heavenly Father and our life is in, hidden in Christ? How is our Father dealing with you and I? How does He deal with His Son Jesus, in other words? How does He love His Son Jesus? How does He listen and answer the prayers of His Son Jesus? How does He respond to His Son's requests? Our life is hidden in Him. There's no difference. He is our life. This is life changing when you and I start to fill our minds with heavenly realities and stop being ground bound and earth bound and focused on all the stuff and being living controlled by this earthly stuff that we see and not walking in faith of who we are as a new creation in Christ. Our life is hid in Him. When Jesus says that we have His fullness, because God's fullness dwells in Him and we too have our fullness in Him, that means it is complete. Everything that you and I need for salvation is done by Jesus Christ. There's nothing more that you and I can do to be born again. Our life is hidden in Him, so His righteousness is our righteousness, because you are hid in His, we are concealed in His righteousness. We are concealed in His perfection. We are concealed in His holiness. We are concealed in His authority, His power. We all hid in Him as Son of God, as children of God, as daughters of God. And our Father was in His Son to bring us in His Son that we can be hidden in Him. And the Father, does the Father count sin against Jesus? No, because Jesus was sinless. Now you and I are hidden in Him, the Father not counting our sin against us. Profound. Now, he goes on and says, because of this great miracle, now begin to live your life worthy of that calling. And I've given you the Holy Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, you'll be able to live in that reality. And that's why he goes on and he says, because you've been raised with Him, now put off the old. Because your life is hid in Him. No longer that old. And put on the new, renew your mind, fill your mind with heavenly realities. Put on the new self, the new creation in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. And that's why Paul prays, as we saw here in chapter 1 over there. And he prays, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that's all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit gives to you and I. And the reason why we're praying this is that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge, the revelation of God the Father, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And so as we fill our minds with this incredible heavenly realities of our life is hidden in Christ Jesus, the power of sin is broken. Now we live in the power of the Holy Spirit in this new life, the resurrection life of God dwelling within us. Now we are able to live in this incredible victory of not being slaves to sin anymore. And we can live a life worthy. That's the heart of Jesus for you and I, the heart of the Father, the heart of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul goes on and he says over there, Now that we've been raised with him, live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who has died to the desires of forbidden things, including the desires for wealth, which is the essence of idol worship. When you live in these vices, you ignite the anger of God against those acts of disobedience. That's how you once behaved. That's no longer you and I, because we are in a new creation. The power of that old Adam sin is broken. That's how you once behaved, characterized by your evil deeds. But now it's time to eliminate them from your lives once and for all. Anger, fits of rage, all forms of hatred, cursing, filthy speech and lying. Lay aside your old Adam self with its masquerade and disguise. For you have acquired a new creation life which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you. Notice this, giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, your nationality makes no difference, nor your ethnicity, education, nor economic status. They matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything, as he lives in each and every one of us over there. And then he carries on over there. So that's the great joy of what Christ has done in his death and resurrection. Hey, guys, all I can say is that as you meditate on what it means that your life is hid in Christ, you're going to just find over there the Father, the fatherhood of God. It opens up tremendously. And you'll get to know the depth of the Father's love and what he has done through his Son to bring us into this place of being a new creation, so that we can have access to the Father, so that we can go to heaven, so that we can get rid of this old sinful body and get the new resurrected body, eventually the glorified body. And that's why Paul writes over here the most profound truth. He says over here, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And only now we get a glimpse of this. We start to live step by step continually in the reality of this. But when Christ does return one day, then we will truly get to see who we really are in him and the great love of God in his Son Jesus. So God bless. Celebrating Christ's resurrection is our resurrection as children of God. Christ's righteousness is our righteousness. That's grace. That's the gift God has given to you and I. And we live in that. Hid in him. But we're not going to go hard as Adam and Eve did. We are hidden in Christ and we have free access to the Father. And we behold the face of Jesus so that we can see the glory of God in his Son and we get the revelation of the Father's love. We are loved by the Father. We are loved by him tremendously. It was the Father and his Son. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. It was the Father's love in giving his Son so that you and I could live loved by our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let's give thanks. Father, thank you this morning for the miracle of rebirth, the miracle of becoming a new creation in your Son Jesus. And I'm asking that even as we have communion, that by your Holy Spirit, help us to receive, help open it up, what it means being a new creation in Christ, that the same thing as our life is hidden in you, Jesus. That will be opened up. Help us to understand what it means, Lord, that you are our life. That's big. The depth of that is beyond our mind and understanding. It needs Holy Spirit. It needs you to speak and to open it up, that we can have faith and receive and begin to fill our minds with the heavenly realities of that truth. and so experience the joy, the freedom, the truth of that. So thank you. Thank you, Father, for this time where on the earth we celebrate the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. And it's every time we do this, you are just taking us deeper and you're saying, now this is what you're wanting to do. So we receive, Father, the fullness of your fatherhood to be made known, not only to us, but to our nation and to the nations. Our community, Father, we receive the revelation of fatherhood. And for this nation, we receive, as we live in this nation, by faith, the revelation of your fatherhood. We thank you. We ask now, particularly for the body of Christ, that your children, we will no longer live in exile. We will no longer live as prisoners in the deception, in the lies. But Father, we will step into the promise of sonship in your Son, the promise of this new creation in Christ Jesus, the promise of your Son being our very life. What a place of security, Lord. We can understand when Paul says, for us to die is gain, but for us to live is Christ. And many times as we begin to realize the reality of our life is in you, Jesus, you are our life, we look forward to leaving this planet Earth so that we can step into the fullness of what it is to have our life hidden in you, Jesus. And so we thank you for that. We ask, Father, for anyone now on this earth, in our community, the people that we know, any believer that is approaching death, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you will give such a revelation of their life hidden in Christ Jesus. Oh, that they may find peace and rest and a joy and an anticipation and a hope. And we thank you for that. We ask, Father, for believers that have lost loved ones and may be still grieving, that you will give revelation of what it is to be hidden in you, Jesus, and our life is, you are our lives. You're not dead. So help us as believers to know, Jesus, you're not dead. You are our life. How can we die? Break open and destroy and give truth so that that fear of death is broken over believers, but also that we can share the good news and have the tremendous gospel to share, Father. This incredible love story of yours, Father. And this we celebrate as we participate in the death of Jesus through the communion meal and the resurrection of Jesus. We give you praise and the glory for this, Jesus. Amen. Amen.